Okay, Allie, remember when you were trying to get this hosting gig?
Oh, yes.
To put it nicely, NPR be serious about having you do like 300 interviews
I think it may have been that many.
and the checking and the rechecking of the references.
Called people that weren't even on my reference list.
I think you said one of them said to you something like, "These people like you, right? Like they want to hire you."
I
They felt personally hurt by the how rigorous the process was. Okay, but that being that as it is, what would you have done if, as part of the interview, NPR had given you a questionnaire to fill out with questions like this: true or false, I would like to be married to a protective and sympathetic person, or true or false, sometimes I feel like stepping into mud and letting it ooze between my toes.
I would have run screaming into traffic, is what I would have done.
Those are actual questions.
I'd still be back in the Today Show. Good morning, Lester. Good morning, Campbell. Good morning, everybody.
See, I failed that question. That's why I couldn't get hired on the Today Show. I said I did like having mud ooze between my toes. Those are actual questions, though, that somebody sent Marcy Albaher of the New York Times. She prompted it was part of a blog posting that she wrote about these increasingly personal and bizarre psychological tests that companies are giving to their would-be employees. Since Albaher wrote this post on her Shifting Careers blog on the New York Times website, there have been all kinds of comments from people who've gotten these weird questionnaires. And we were thinking there's a lot of questions about these sort of ethical and moral implications of these tests. So we've got Marcy here to talk to us about it. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Luke.
So describe some of these tests that people are getting.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had to consult with an expert on personality tests because I am not an expert on personality tests. So I called Annie Murphy-Paul, who wrote The Cult of Personality, who gave me a little backgrounder on what's going on. And according to Ms. Paul, these tests are getting more and more pervasive in the employment sector. And what's strange is I write about careers, and I haven't run into a lot of people telling me they had these kinds of tests. But there's everything from the kind of hundreds of questions, questionnaire, personality inventories of the kind where you read those questions that I excerpted in the blog post, to things that feel more innocuous, like a Myers-Briggs test, which we all think of as not very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be getting that as part of a career development tool, mm-hmm. right, to help you figure out what your strengths are and your affinities. And I think a lot of this is there's such a broad spectrum that I was finding that the way the tests were used, the setting they were used, the communication around the test, the administration of the test, whether there really was competence or policies around it and explanations about confidentiality, there were so many issues around it when we started talking about it that it was just – it's hard to make sense of the whole thing because –
Well, what do you think companies are trying to deduce with these tests?
Yeah, I mean, I think – you know, I think in the most noble senses, they're trying to find – whether people are a good fit for certain kinds of jobs. And I think that's kind of the defense of these kinds of tests. I mean, obviously, if we're trying to find out about criminal tendencies, mm-hmm. we could do background checks, and mm-hmm. we've always done things like that. So I think we're also looking at, you know, this era where what's called soft skills are becoming increasingly important at work.
What are soft skills?
Do you get along with people? You know, mm-hmm. are you nice? How are your interpersonal skills? Sometimes, you know, we're putting so much emphasis on these things, we wonder if it's more important than can you do the job you were hired to do and have you done it well in the past in other settings.
I have to ask, though, I'm looking at this question that asks to whom I'd like to be married, the type of person. Could that possibly be a legal question?
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
I was a lawyer,
but I had to call an employment lawyer to ask about some of the legal guidelines. And really, the legal minefields are around things that have to do with discrimination against a protected class. So
not wanting to marry a caring person
not
is
sure.
not yet a protected
yeah,
class.
Sure, yeah, exactly. I mean, the lawyer says, you know, when he advises companies, he's really concerned about medical information. Obviously, you know, things that would have to do with sexual orientation or racial or other kinds of gender discrimination. So I'm not sure that particular question was necessarily on the no-no list. But when I described him the situation that the person called me about, it was 5 hours of meeting with a psychologist to go through these questions.
And this was for a job at Wendy's.
Yeah, yeah.
This wasn't even the Defense Department
stunning.
Or someplace.
Well, this job didn't have any security implications. It was a job in the financial sector, of, you know, a high-level, white-collar uh-huh. position, actually. And And when I heard more of the details, and I can't reveal the person because she did come to me confidentially, but when I heard more of the details about it, it just showed me how we're in the wild west of these things. You know, like this was, you know, a 12-person financial firm that seemed to administer the test maybe because they had a relationship with this psychologist. And that psychologist had a lot of power in the interview process. That psychologist, who was not an investment professional herself, was now judging this person based on how she performed on a test and whether she thought her investment decisions would be sound based on questions like the ones you just replayed back to me.
The thing I don't get is how they think that they're going to get honest answers out of someone who's trying to get a job. Like, that dream I have about my mom marrying Tom Cruise, that really means I'm great at using Excel.
Right. Right. Well,
how do you get an honest answer?
The other thing I talked about with this candidate. So how honest was she in the psychological kind of intake session? And she said, well, there were certain things I talked about and certain things I didn't talk about. So she revealed some things about her family history, but there were some things she wasn't going near because she wasn't sure what they were going to make of them. So I don't know how honest an assessment you're even getting. And I think, like, when we all sit down to take tests, I mean, look at all the studying and industry that has grown up around college testing and graduate school testing. We try to game tests.
And it's an extension of your job interview. I mean, you never say, I was fired. You say, we left on good terms,
right,
or I decided
to
seek other opportunities. Wouldn't you approach the test the same way?
Right. And I mean, when I talk to some experts about the tests,
that ink blot looks like my former boss, who I respect tremendously.
So, you know, the thing with these tests, the ones that are filled with all the questions, is there's a lot of decoy questions along the way. So the questions are kind of reverse engineered. So if you're trying to game the test, you won't be able to do it because they'll catch you at some. I mean, the people I talk to who really work with these tests, there is some faith in them. There are people in the career industry, and lots of organizational psychologists wrote to me, emailed me, and posted comments saying, you know, with proper training, these tests can be very valuable in certain instances, but they seem like a tool that can be really easily abused. So I don't have a comprehensive answer for you on all this, except that it made the readers and job candidates really uncomfortable.
Yeah, things were just going
crazy
nuts on your blog.
And people in the industry themselves, and I can't tell whether this is to control the use of the tests and to create a cadre of consultants around this or real kind of professional accountability, feel that these kinds of tests and the analysis of them require so much expertise that you don't really want a random HR person being the evaluator. And it's really important who's the test taker, who's the test evaluator, who gets access to the results of these kinds of tests. And I use the word test broadly. They're called inventories. There's all these names for what
these
things
are. Okay, what are the
names
should I be worried of if somebody starts saying, I'm going to do an inventory when you come in?
The Minnesota Multiphasic Inventory.
Okay.
This one, the one that had the mud mushiness, is called the PRF Form E. And that's, you could go to the website of Sigma Assessment Systems and see a lot of these tests.
Sigma.
I was poking around all last night. I was like, I want to look at more of these tests because it's just incredible.
All right, Marcy, we're getting really short on time, but I just have a question. If someone finds themselves sitting across from a Minnesota multiphasic, is there something they can remember, a guiding principle, to try to game this thing a little bit?
You know what? I really think the bigger question is, when you're done with it, just start thinking about how that test made you feel and if you want to work with people who think how you performed on that test is really important.
Okay. And a final question. Do you like stepping into the mud and letting it ooze between your toes?
One of my favorite things to do.
All right.
We know which way the wind blows the New York Times.
I was
going
to say, let's see how my editors respond to that.
Marcy Alberher writes the Shifting Careers blog on the New York Times website. She's also the author of One Person / Multiple Careers, A New Model for Work/Life Success. Thanks, Marcy.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming to the studio. Hey, we're going to get the latest from inside of Pakistan. So much going on there this morning as well. We'll take a ramble through some of the news you can't really use, but we know you like it. Stay with us here at the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.